We've come now to a very lofty section, an exalted section, and a grand section of this epistle, because the subject here is the person of Christ. And we can't say too much about him, and we'll never be able, certainly in this life, to comprehend him in all of his wonder and in all of his glory. Now, Paul writes here in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? Now, this is a verse, as many of you know, that answers actually those today that deny his deity. Because to understand this verse is to realize how wonderful he really is. And Paul is attempting to answer here one of the oldest heresies in the church, which was Gnosticism. Now, one of these heresies that came along was Arianism. Arius of Alexandria, he said that the Lord Jesus Christ was a creature. And the Council of Nicaea answered him in 325 A.D., when it made the statement, the Son is very man of very man and very God of very God. And later on in the history of the church, Socinus propagated this heresy that Jesus was not God and we did not need a Savior from sin, that we were not totally depraved. And actually, this has been the basis of Unitarianism and many of the cults today, and one of them in particular, and you know which. Now, there are here 9 marks of identification of Christ, which makes him different from any other person who ever lived, and superior to all of them. Now, we have 2 of those statements right here in this very first verse. We are told here first, who is the image of the invisible God. Now, this word here, image, is icon. Now, the interesting thing is, how could he be the image of the invisible God? Because you can't take a photograph of that which is invisible. And how would he be that? Well, John makes it very clear. When John, in his prologue to the gospel, says, in the beginning was the Word. And that's a beginning that has no beginning, because he had no beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then he said, the Word became flesh, or was born flesh. And if you want the Christmas story in John's gospel, there it is. He was born flesh. And that's the way that he became the image of the invisible God. You know why? Because he is God. If he wasn't God, he couldn't have been the image of the invisible God. Now, the second statement that is made here, he's the firstborn of all creation. Now, here again, we have this tremendous, wonderful statement, and this reveals his relationship to the Father. And it's his position in the Trinity. Nowhere does the Scripture teach that he had his beginning at Bethlehem. We are told, remember in that great prophecy, that out of Bethlehem he would come, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. He comes out of eternity and takes upon himself our humanity. But actually, Paul here is dealing with one of the philosophies of that day and one of the mystery religions. And the way that it worked was like this. It is the demiurge, and it means that God created a creature just beneath him, and then that creature created a creature underneath him, and then that creature created a creature underneath him, and you can just keep on going down the ladder as far as you want to. And finally, you come to a creature that created this universe. Now, that is the way they taught, the emanations, as it was, of God. and each one of these, an eon, creates another one and another one. Now, one of the first heresies in the church, Gnosticism, taught that Jesus was one of these. Now, what Paul is doing here, he's answering that. He is saying that he is the firstborn of all creation. He's back of all creation. He's not born in creation, but the word here is a very wonderful word, prototokos, before all creation. And he is the one that we have said that came down 1900 years ago, and the word became flesh. But he's talking here about in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see, he is the firstborn of all creation. You see, God is called the everlasting Father. The Son is called the everlasting Son. Now, if you have an everlasting God, a Father, everlasting Son, there never was a time when he was begotten, you see. And that is something that is made very clear. The Lord Jesus is called in several places. He's called the firstborn of all creation. He's called the firstborn from the dead. He's called the only begotten. And you have here in verse 18 that he is the firstborn from the dead. And that is, of course, what the writer to the psalm meant when he said in the second psalm, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Well, if you would go back to the book of Acts, the 13th chapter, you'll find out that that great sermon Paul preached in Antioch of Pisidia in the Galatian country, he said that meant he was begotten from the dead. So that what we're talking about here is not a birth in Bethlehem. Do not use verse 15 here in this first chapter of Colossians for Christmas, friend. This is no Christmas verse. This does not speak of the fact that he was born in Bethlehem. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. And that means he has top priority of position. And it hasn't anything to do with his origin at all. And I think that you'd find that made clear in Psalm 89:27, also I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And therefore, what you have here in this verse is that Christ, as the eternal Son, holds the position of top priority to all creation. In other words, he is the creator. And you don't have this demiurge, a series of creatures being created one after another. He himself created all things. And that is the thing that he's making clear in this statement here. And how wonderful this is, by the way, and how important it is. Let me give you another verse or two in this connection. Over in Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That doesn't sound very much like he's a creature, does it? That is the second person of the Godhead. And in verse 7 of this chapter, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, the Lord Jesus is not one of those creatures. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So, friends, we're not talking here about a creature, or the fact that the Lord Jesus was born a creature. We're talking here about the fact that he was God. And when he came into the world, a child was born, but the Son was given, and he had come out of eternity. And as the angel said to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Why? Because that's who he is. He was the Son of God before he came into this world. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is that. And that is what this verse means here.